This morning, for those who are worshiping with us online, our sermon is entitled, Something to Hope For. Something to Hope For. We conclude this morning, for those who have been following along, a series of sermons on the theme, The Grand Essentials for Happiness in Life. The phrase, The Grand Essentials of Happiness, comes from a phrase that was coined by a man named Joseph Addison in the 17th century. He worked as a poet, a playwright, and a politician. Addison wrote that essential to our happiness in life is having something to do, having someone to love, and having something to hope for. I believe those are essentials for life and faith, to have joy in one's life, to have those things. And so this morning we consider having something to hope for, the last great essential for happiness that Addison spoke of. As we do so, we come to two scripture readings. The first is from the Old Testament. It is the story of Noah and Noah's family and the ark and the great flood. And this passage comes at the very end of that story. Chapter 8, beginning at verse 6. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent out the raven. And it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its foot and returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took the dove and brought it into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and it did not return to him anymore. Verse 13, in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked and saw that the face of the ground was drying. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives and every animal, every creeping thing and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out of the ark by families. And then our second reading comes from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. I'm reading in Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 to 5, this has often been called the results of God's work of justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of God's love that has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as we come to the message. How great are you, O Lord, and worthy to be praised. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word, O Lord, it stands forever. And so now as we come before your presence, we come with itching ears, listening to a word perhaps that you have tailor-made for each one of us. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Through Christ our Lord, amen. I want to say to you this morning some very strong words about hope. As your pastor, I want to say to you that I believe that hope is the greatest gift that God has given us as his people. Hope. God has lovingly and graciously given us the gift of hope. It is indeed, I believe, one of the grand essentials for having joy in this life, living with hope. I also want to say as I begin this message that there may be those among us, those watching online perhaps as well, who will find this to be a very difficult message. I know a number of people who are struggling with illness, who are undergoing medical tests. There are those who I am aware of who are facing difficulties in life, difficulties in relationships, difficulties in work. And oftentimes, these kind of words about hope, when you're going through a test of some sort, they can seem superficial. I hope they don't do that. I hope this morning that hope can be your favorite word in whatever you are going through, that you can claim God's gift of hope for your life where you are and in your circumstances. But the bottom line I want you to remember above all things this morning is this. Hopelessness. Hopelessness is not a Christian word. Do you believe, as I do this morning, that there is no situation in which God cannot bring out some good? If so, then we understand that this does not mean, it does not mean that there will be days that are not difficult. It doesn't mean that. There will be difficult days. It does not mean that there will seem like days in which the sun never came up. There will be days like that. But I really believe for people of faith, there is no situation where there is absolute hopelessness. In our reading from Genesis this morning, I love that reading about the great flood and how careful Noah was in sending out those birds to see if water had subsided and see if the earth had dried from the great flood. He was so careful documenting every creature and documenting what day of the month and the year it was. Did you hear that in the story? He was so very careful to document everything. His family had experienced the earth go through this flooding, this devastation. The waters that had covered the earth for 40 days were finally subsiding. And Noah finally sent out that second dove to determine if there was land, if there was life emerging. And what happened in that story is that hope once again filled Noah's life and that of his family. Someone has said, how could there have been any habitation? Any tree would have rotted after that length of time underwater. But perhaps scholars say, indeed, seeds from those trees would have been planted in the earth already. And when the earth began to dry, it takes about 30 days for germination of a seed and another 10 days perhaps for a leaf to come forward. And the leaf the dove brought back was from that olive tree, an olive leaf. And that was a symbol of hope for Noah and his family. In the midst of all the clouds and darkness for 40 days, finally there was light and life again. I can't imagine going through what they must have experienced. And so I want to say to you lovingly, listen, if you are here this morning, or you are watching the live streaming today, or perhaps later this week, and you feel as if your life is somehow clouded in darkness at some point because of a difficult relationship or an illness or because of finances, remember and know that our loving and gracious God has a good word to speak to you today, whatever circumstances you are facing. And so let me ask you this question this morning. What would it mean to you? What would it mean to be able to live with hope from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep? Live with hope every day. What would it mean to you in your life? Or perhaps consider the question this way. Think about your own faith journey this morning. Who has been that person, or who have been those persons that have nurtured you in the faith and helped you see life differently, life with joy and happiness and hope? Who has been that person who has brought you into the light of hope in a time in which you were in a difficult situation? Remember that person and give thanks to God for them. And here's the question then that comes next. Out of the gratitude for all of that, think for a moment who God might be calling you to be a light of hope in someone else's life. I believe God is calling each one of us this morning to be just that. And we need to listen and be sensitive to how God is calling us to help others, to be that kind of light and hope. I've said this to you before, but I need to say it again. Personally, I will always be grateful for those who help to light the lamp of faith in my life and in my family's life. I will always be grateful for that. I will always be grateful for my great-grandmother who read the King James Bible to me as I sat on her lap, and who also had time to play Chinese checkers with me and to tell me the stories about her life and living through the Depression. And I had so many questions on my great-grandmother, and then my grandmother, who could pray and pray and pray. And finally we had to say, enough, let's eat. But I am grateful for those influences and those of my parents who taught me about faith and prayer and hard work and endurance and not giving up. And I found those same themes, those same values as part of the teachings of the Bible. That's where they come. That's why they had them, and that's why they passed them on. Let me share with you this morning just briefly some spiritual principles I believe that God wants us to know about this gracious and loving gift of hope that He has given us. Principle number one, always remember that Almighty God never, ever, ever stops working in your life. Not for a minute. Even when you cannot see it, God is at work in your life. I never thought at the end of May when Stephanie announced she was transitioning to be the director of our traditional service, I never thought we would find a new director who lives across the street from the church. God is always, always at work, even when we cannot see it. Amen. There are people who say, you know, Pastor, God has forgotten about me. Or they say, my prayers don't get above the roof of the church. God is not listening to me just now. I understand that feeling of absence, the absence of God. When you feel like that, all you feel like doing, when you've been hurt, for example, and you're praying and you don't feel like God is listening, all that you feel like in that moment is like withdrawing. And that's a natural feeling, to withdraw, as if you're withdrawing like a hurt creature into a corner. That's understandable. but it's not helpful to stay there. Whatever it is you're going through, bring it out into the light and let God's gift of hope shine upon it. Oftentimes, we need just to complain in our prayers, I believe. The psalmist wasn't hesitant about complaining. Many of the psalms, in fact, are laments, complaints. The anguish of the writer in the psalms about God seemingly not hearing, not listening, not knowing. Where are you, O God? Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from my words that seem like groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest. Have you ever felt that way? You see, that sense of anger and frustration, it is obvious in this Psalm 22. I would encourage you also to read, and you may want to write this down if you can't remember it, Psalm 73. Psalm 73. It's a wonderful psalm, how the psalmist has almost given up hope. They see others in the world and how they live, and they are somewhat jealous. It seems like the sun shines always brighter on the other side. But finally they return and they see God's hand in their own life and they give praise to God. Notice even at the end of Psalm 22, the psalmist began, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is how that psalm ends. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering or the afflicted. He has not hidden his face, but has listened to my cry for help. That's some journey from my God. G.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton was a British writer. He was very popular. Some of you know, my wife knew the moment I mentioned his name, she knew that he had written that lucrative Father Brown mystery series. I said to her, did you know that he wrote that series and continued to write it because it was very lucrative and it rewarded his less financial rewarding endeavors. It helped to bankroll other things he wanted to do. But many people don't know he was also a really great Christian. He was once in a discussion group, and the question was asked in the group, what one book would you want if you were left and deserted on an island in the ocean? What one book would you want to have with you? Some people say, oh, they'd like to have the works of William Shakespeare. Another said they'd like to have a Charles Dickens novel or two. Some person said they wanted the Bible to sustain them. But G.K. Chesterton, the writer and the great Christian, he scratched his head and he said, you know the book I would like the most? I would like Thompson's Guide to Practical Shipbuilding. You have to let that sink in. And what Chesterton was really saying as a Christian about his faith, he was saying that there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. There is no place we can go, no place we can flee where God won't find us and be with us. Perhaps what some of us need this morning to have happiness and joy in our life is Thomas's guide to forgiveness. Or Thomas's guide to patience when you've run out of patience. Or perhaps we need Thomas's guide to loving difficult people. And we really do have such a guide with us. And that guide is called the Bible. All through each one of the 66 books, there is a theme that emerges. God never, ever stops working in life. Principle number one. Principle number two, always remember that God's love is redemptive. God's love is redemptive. And what that means is God is always taking that which is broken in life and trying to work with you to make it whole, to give you a sense of peace about it. Our reading this morning from the New Testament, it's one of my most favorite passages in all of the Bible, Romans 5:1-5. It's a wonderful passage from Scripture that teaches this, that God is working to bring about redemption and wholeness. Paul talks about suffering in these verses, and he knew about suffering. And suffering, he knew, can sometimes lead people to feel squeezed in by life. Have you ever felt squeezed in? Sometimes feeling pressured or hopeless. Hopelessness can make it hard to breathe. Sometimes you have to sit down. Sometimes you feel a knot in your chest or your stomach. But suffering, writes Paul, suffering, and he knew about suffering, it produces, he said, endurance. And this can be very difficult to understand. But the word here is really a wonderful word in the Bible for endurance. It comes from the Greek word hupomone. Hupomone, that means endurance in the English language. Hupomone, and hupomone literally means hanging in there no matter what. It means saying no matter how tired I am, no matter what it takes, no matter how many treatments I have to go through, no matter how much rehab, no matter what the task or how difficult the project, I will see it through with God's help, because God is redeeming all of life. And I want to see how that picture is woven from the fabric of my life, both the good and the bad. God is weaving a great tapestry in our lives for His glory. And I wonder at times, I've said this before, why churches don't tell young people more frequently the truth about life, that life can be hard, it can be difficult. Why don't we tell them that it can be a real struggle? I said that to both of my sons last night. They were both with us. One came home from North Carolina for a short weekend visit, and we were all together playing Scrabble. I forgot what a poor Scrabble player I was until last night. But I spelled out at one point the word hope. The word hope. Oftentimes life is hard. I was speaking to my mother just the other week, and we were talking about raising children and raising me, and I asked her how difficult it must have been during that period of time. I remembered my dad working hard and building our home and taking out a loan to build that home. And I said to my mother, how much was your mortgage during that period of time in the 60s and the 70s? And she laughed and she said, well, the banker, your baseball coach growing up, your little league coach, Paul Ed Parrott, Paul Ed and I used to laugh, she said, Chris, because we never paid off our mortgage until we had to, because our mortgage was only $138 a month. Things have changed, haven't they? How hard it must be for young people today to afford a car or an apartment or have home ownership. The word is hupomone, hang in there no matter what to your dreams, and one day you'll be a homeowner. Hang in there no matter what. Have hope. But some people are surprised. Some people are surprised when trouble comes. But why is trouble always seen as a stranger or an unexpected intrusion? Trouble is a part of life, isn't it? And that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very help in times of trouble. So suffering, writes Paul, produces endurance, hupomone, hanging in there. And endurance produces the third principle this morning. Endurance produces character. And this is not any kind of character. It's character that has been proven and tested. The image that Paul is using here really is like the image of metal going through a fire to be purified, and the gross of the metal comes to the top and is wiped away, and there is purity in the metal after it goes through the testing, the burning, the furnace. It becomes more pure. And that, says Paul, is character. And that's what we're called to have as people of faith. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character, he finishes, produces hope. One of my favorite passages. And that hope, he writes, does not disappoint us because of the love of God which has been poured out through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. You see, hope is that calm confidence that our circumstances are not the last word on today. Hope is that calm confidence that in spite of the circumstances, God is a God of redemption, working to bring about wholeness in some way in all that I am experiencing. And so God will not shield us from pain. He will not eliminate all suffering or diversity. But God does say, I will hold on to you and never let you go. God is always working. And one of the grand essentials for living, the grand essentials for happiness, I believe, is having something to hope for. And I would say to you that something is a someone. And that someone is Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for these moments together. We thank you for your gifts of having someone to love, something to do, and someone to hope, to give us hope. Help us to be that light, that lamp of light to others. In Christ's name, may we bring hope into the lives of others. Amen.